Hi everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And this is episode number 88.
Unbelievable.
I can't even believe it.
Yes.
We watched Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah, we sure did.
It took place in 1985, or the movie is from 1985. It takes place in 1984.
Yes.
The movie was a hard R. It was 91 minutes long, and it was directed by Dan O'Bannon.
Yes.
It got a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I saw that.
It got a 66 on Metascore
Yes.
and a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yes.
Was surprised at the Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
Because, this is kind of a schlocky movie.
It sure is.
But it's very fun. I've never seen any of the sequels, but I'm assuming they're fun too.
Okay.
I know that I have part two floating around.
Oh my God, there's a part two.
There's like four of them.
Okay.
The budget on this was about $4 million.
I saw that.
And I got a worldwide gross of about 14.2 million.
I also saw that.
And I was like, well, I mean, is that enough money to make a sequel? But, why wouldn't you make a sequel to something like this?
Absolutely.
So, regardless if it made money, we're making more.
Because this is like, they're printing money.
Oh, yeah.
Cost $4 million to get it, and they made a profit of $10 million. Sounds okay to me.
Any profit is good profit.
I think.
The basic plot is that when two bumbling employees at a medical supply warehouse accidentally release a deadly gas into the air, the vapors cause the dead to rise again.
And they did.
Well, it wasn't really when they released the vapors. It was when they cremated that body.
Right. And caused more vapors.
Lots of vapors.
Oh, here's our producer.
Yeah. What you doing? Okay.
Aww. Hi, Tallulah. Baby.
I got a cast of Clu Gallagher, James Caan, Don Kalfa, Tom Matthews, Beverly Randolph, John Philbin, Jewel Shepherd, Miguel A. Nunez Jr., Brian Peck, Linnea Quigley, and Mark Venturini. That's basically everybody you see.
Yes, those are the people that are making up the movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my goodness, if you want to call it that.
Listen, I think this movie's great. And the only reason we picked it is because July 3rd was literally just the other day.
Yes.
So
Yes.
we had to.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I agree with you. And you know what? It wasn't that bad.
It's terrible. It's a terrible movie, but it's one of those really bad, really good movies.
Yes. Yes, and you know how I love mindless entertainment, so
Yeah.
it fit the bill.
Of course.
Okay.
What do you got?
I've got some interesting stuff. There's a lot. Dan O'Bannon is the director. He also wrote the screenplay, and he's written several of the screenplays through the series,
Okay.
I guess, is what you'd say. The story itself is by three guys, Rudy Rico, John Russo, and Russell Steiner. They've, I guess, Steiner co-wrote The Night of the Living Dead with Romero.
Okay.
So they've kind of been together and wrote all of these. And it was produced by Tom Fox. And all of these guys are Pittsburgh people.
Oh, okay.
You know, they, you know, are in many ways associated with Romero and his whole group. Let's see. O'Bannon wrote this screenplay. And remember I had said, when Lex and I had talked during the week, and I said, gosh, this guy looks so familiar. You know, just the picture of him. He wrote the screenplay for Alien.
Oh, no shit.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense, because there was something in the trivia that said that he was trying to get away from aliens.
Right.
And it didn't make sense. It
didn't dawn on you?
No.
But that's why I remember, you know, because I always look at the pictures of the people that I talk about.
Okay.
You know, so you get a feel about what they are. And he also contributed to computer animation for Star Wars.
Oh, no shit.
How about that?
That's awesome.
Yep. He was born in St. Louis, and he is a sci-fi and horror film. His early life, he was inspired by comics and Tales from the Crypt.
Okay.
And old horror.
Sure.
So, of course, yeah. He also wrote stories for heavy metal magazines.
Oh, cool.
Which back in, you know, in that day, let's see, when was he born? 46. So he was a teenager in the 60s. So he would have, you know, that was something that people did. They wrote stories and sent them to magazines to have them published. And, you know, lots of people did that. And lots of famous people did that. He attended art school at Washington University in St. Louis.
Okay.
He did stand-up work, and he worked on doing makeup for some of the campus theater works. And while he was there at Washington, he roomed with Michael Sandberg. And he did Pulp Fiction, Fish Called Wanda, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Oh, no shit.
That you would recognize.
Okay.
He didn't graduate from there. And he, after a while, he moved back home for a while. And then he attended some other schools, Florissant Valley Junior College. And that's where he started his film work. He did a short there called The Attack of the 50-Foot Chicken.
Okay.
He also attended McMurray College in Jacksonville, Illinois. Again, I don't know, you know, any of those.
No.
He was studying psychology at the time and became interested in directing. And later, he attended the University of Southern California and graduated in 1970 with a bachelor's in film.
Okay.
So, I mean, all through you know, all through his time, he worked toward being a director or, you know, film industry person.
But the last several directors have gone through USC.
Yes, yes. And is that because that's where, you know, is that the main school for film?
Maybe.
I do not know this. And then we'll talk about his career. In the 70s, at USC, he met John Carpenter.
Oh, cool.
And collaborated on student films that eventually turned into a feature-length film called Dark Star. It was a 1975 limited released film, which, you know, maybe it means something to you. I don't.
I've never heard it.
You know, okay. And that started fairly unsuccessful. And then in the 80s, it turned kind of into a cult film. And apparently this was John Carpenter's debut, but I don't recall that, talking about that. I don't recall. And we've talked about Carpenter a lot.
We've done most of his movies.
Right. But I don't recall remembering a movie called Dark Star.
No, it's not ringing any bells.
So, I didn't really look into that. So, then he worked with Frank Herbert's on Dune.
Okay.
Right. And kind of after that, Bannon was, kind of broken, homeless, and just kind of roaming around doing whatever he could. And he ran into George Lucas. And when George Lucas recognized him, he asked him if he would do some hand animation work for him and signed him on with Star Wars.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So, he kind of made his way. And in 79, he and Ronald Chugert came up with the idea for Alien. And so O'Bannon proceeded to write the screenplay. I thought, oh, how interesting. And it's so funny that, so much of the stuff that we watch, it all is interconnected.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me that it is so interconnected. Then we move on to the 80s. He worked with a number of projects, but nothing really worked out financially until 85 when he directed our movie.
Okay.
And like Alien, it spawned other sequels, and then moved quickly into the cult status realm.
Yeah.
Which, we've seen that with other pictures. It's on today and cult tomorrow.
Right.
So, and in the 90s, he did The Resurrected, which sounds kind of familiar, but,
no.
In the 2000s, he was the resident filmmaker in residence at Chapman University and the Dodge College of Film and Media Arts, which I can't say that I've ever mentioned anything about that.
No.
Usually there again, those film schools are all so connected. But no. So, and then he moved on. And in 2004, he co-wrote Alien versus Predator.
Okay.
So, that's kind of his life in a nutshell. And posthumously, in 2013, O'Bannon apparently wrote several books. One called The Guide to Screenplay Structure, which was huge, I guess.
Oh.
And, not being interested in film school and that type of stuff. This, again, means nothing to me, but it has spawned lots of young people to do that kind of work.
Well, screenplays to be accepted in Hollywood have to be written a very specific way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have heard that before.
So, in order for anybody to even think about reading your script, it has to be formatted just so.
Uh-huh. Interesting. And he also did with Matt Lore from Dark Horse Comics, a 5-issue comic series of Alien, the original screenplay.
Oh, cool.
Which I thought that was kind of interesting. He was married, had one son. He died in December of 2009 from complications from Crohn's disease.
Oh my God.
I thought, what?
Could you even imagine?
No.
Oh my God.
No.
That
just freaked me right out.
Oh dear.
Yikes.
Crohn's disease.
Yes.
Who knew?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Jesus.
But yeah. Yeah. Then I looked into the production of this movie, Return of the Living Dead. And the follow up to this was Night of the Living Dead, or did I write that wrong? Is this the follow-up of Night of the Living Dead?
This movie posits that Night of the Living Dead really happens.
Okay.
So this would be a follow-up, too.
I wrote it backward then.
Yeah.
Which I do that a lot, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this movie exists in a world where Night of the Living Dead did happen.
Right. And Russo and George Romero wrote that one.
Yeah.
But after that, they split. And Romero held the rights to anything called Living Dead, which I thought, wow, that's kind of bold to take over that whole, you know, that whole series, that whole copyright thing.
Well, I think he learned real fast when he didn't make any money off Night of the Living Dead because it wasn't copyrighted correctly. He learned real fast that you have to get that shit like
locked down.
Yeah.
Okay. But and that is not unusual. I mean that's kind of
hold on, we've got she's making me crazy.
Our producer is
tap dancing on the keyboard again.
She's producing not in the correct way, but that's all right. We love her.
She's going to produce an ass kicking here in a minute.
Aww. No, she's not. Look at how cute she is.
Yeah, you're right. She's not. I'm all talk.
I know. I know. And then Romero went on to do Dawn of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
And producer Tom Fox, who produced this movie, he had planned to do a 3D version of Return of the Living Dead, directed by Toby Hooper?
Yeah, you know who that guy is?
Yeah, I do. Do you?
Yeah.
Texas.
Of course I do.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy?
Yeah.
See, they're all intertwined. They're all intertwined. But when the money dried up, he moved on to other movies. And the movie he did next was called Life Force. But again, I did not recognize that. And
I feel like that does sound familiar.
Okay. That was right after our movie.
Okay.
So it was 1995, so it was like right after our movie. O'Bannon was brought on to give the script to Pollack, and then he was offered the director's seat, which he accepted.
Sure.
And on the condition that he could rewrite the film so that it would not be a Romero film.
Okay.
Which, you know, I get it. And also the zombies would be different, which, you know, we've seen other zombie movies, and I guess we've seen each version of them.
Yeah.
You know, so the next, he wanted to do a different version of the zombie. Positive screen test led to Orion Pictures to pick it up and give it a worldwide release in August of 85.
Okay.
The movie was considered a moderate box office success, Which we've seen that again before also. You know, we've seen real dogs, we've seen moderate success, and we've seen big success films turn into cult classics.
Yeah.
So really, there's no source for that, I guess. It was first released on VHS in 1986, which would have been, you know, it still would have been in theaters, wouldn't it?
Probably not.
Less than a year after it was released?
No, probably not.
I don't know. And the original DVD was released in the UK in 2001. And that particular version retained the original form, which was everything that they had started in the music and everything.
Okay.
And then in 2012, they did other versions of that DVD, which I don't understand all that, you know.
Well, is it music copyright and stuff like that?
Exactly. Okay, exactly.
Yeah, no, that's all bullshit. And it doesn't make sense, but it makes sense.
Right. And in 2002, the fans led a campaign that drew the attention of the cast and crew.
Okay.
And MGM created a new supplement to it and released a special edition that included extras, which is commentary from O'Bannon and a documentary type thing of the making of the movie.
Oh, okay.
And then in 2007, a collector's edition was released with additional extra footage from the cast and the crew.
Sure.
And as we said before, the music changed with different copyrights. And the 25th anniversary version, which came out in 2010, was released similar to the MGM Fox version from, when did I say that came out? 2002? Yeah, 2002 version. And in 2016, Scream Factory released a 30th anniversary.
Okay.
That was, I don't know any of this, a 2K version.
Okay.
And
we're up to 4K now.
Right, right. And I don't get how that exactly works.
Yeah.
But, I know it's all.
I don't know what that means.
All fabulously stuff, you know, whatever.
Yeah, sure. Best graphics.
And that one, the 2016, had the original audio.
Oh, okay.
And they just remastered it.
Sure.
And the soundtrack, which we had talked about when the credits were rolling, Lex was talking about.
Yeah, it was playing a Cramp song. I like rockabilly. I like psychobilly. I have never gotten into the Cramps.
Right.
And people are like, well, how do you like rockabilly? How do you like psychobilly? And you don't like the Cramps. I don't know. I just don't.
And that was never one of, punk type music was never one of my listens.
Oh, well, you know, I'll listen to anything.
Sure, sure. And, you know, basically so will I. But yeah, the original soundtrack has the classic punk rock, horror punk, death rock.
Okay,
and yeah. Psychobilly.
Yeah, that shit's right up my alley.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and I saw a song by The Damned. I know who The Damned are.
Okay.
I think they just went, they just reunited and went on tour again.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And in 1985's Enigma Records did an original soundtrack of that.
Yeah, yeah, it said you could find it on record or cassettes.
Right. And which another thing, and I think we've talked about this before, the music is changed in different countries.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I get different tastes, different ideologies and stuff cause different music to be played. I don't know, whatever. And a limited vinyl was released in 2016.
Of the soundtrack?
Of the soundtrack, yes.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I thought that was kind of interesting. And then I have a little stuff on Ricci, Russo, and Steiner, the people that kind of helped write this.
Okay.
They helped write the Living Dead type series type stuff. So, kind of John Russo wrote a book. He wrote some book. He wrote a lot of books. And it seemed to infer that the Living Dead movies kind of came from a book he wrote.
Wow.
Is that like an idea, a thought that, you know, was put together? Because he was helped write this. You know, he was on some writing teams, I guess. I thought that's kind of interesting. And that Russell Steiner and Rudy Ricci.
Okay.
They all worked on all of these movies. They were all from Pennsylvania. They were all of that group and worked on all of these Dead movies. So I thought that's kind of interesting that the cast of characters doesn't really change. So, interesting stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. This movie had a lot of trivia.
I can imagine.
Some of the extras were paid a little bonus money to eat real calf brains.
Ew!
And Dan O'Bannon was like, here, I'm going to eat some calf brains because I'm not going to ask you to do something I wouldn't do.
Were they raw?
I don't know.
Well, people do eat brains.
Yeah.
Okay. Go from there. So he paid people extra, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, you know, I guess it depends on how bad you want a bigger paycheck. You don't want a bigger paycheck that bad.
Yeah, but you just never know when you might need money.
Not going to do it.
Mm. Okay. Well, I've eaten liver. I might consider eating brains.
No. Filmmakers had to get approval from Lysol to have Frank spray away the stench of death. And apparently they were very keen on the idea that Lysol would kill any conceivable odor.
Product placement, like you said.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And what, you know, what better way to say that Lysol's the best if it gets away the smell of a dead body?
Okay.
Okay, the part of Bert. Bert was the guy that owned the medical supply company.
Yes.
The part of Bert was offered to Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, I could see that.
But Nielsen wanted too much money.
Well, in the 80s, he was pretty big, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the script was offered to Robert Weber, who hated it. I don't know who Robert Weber is.
I don't.
And then Scott Brady, who was too sick to take the role, he did end up dying before the movie started.
I don't know who that is either.
No. And it went to Flew Gallagher, like, literally the day before filming started.
And he was, I have seen him in other things. He was a pretty big star.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I pointed out Miguel A. Nunez Jr. to you.
Yes.
He was apparently homeless when he took this role.
Okay.
Hey, you know.
Again, you need money? I think he... be perfectly honest, I think he was the best actor of the whole bunch of them. I mean, everybody else looked like they were, you know, sucking screen time, you know? Look at me.
Yeah. Well, I think he was like one of the only one of the punks that was like, I need to take charge. We need to get this under control.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was the only one that kept a level head.
Yes. Yes, he was.
And is that to harken back to Night of the Living Dead with Ben?
Absolutely.
Because in movies, there's the trope of the black guy always dies first. You know, this guy made it to the end of the movie.
Right.
And I have seen him in a documentary called Horror Noir, where it has like black actors and directors, and, you know, a couple people are paired up and they're in a like a theater and they're talking about the movies or whatever the topic is. And Miguel A. Nunez is sitting there talking. I don't remember who he was talking to, but he was saying that when he got scripts in the 80s, he would just flip through the pages to see when the character they were offering him died.
Okay.
And that was kind of how he chose his roles, was, well, do I get, you know, a more than a couple of minutes of screen time?
Page 5 or page 20?
Yeah. You know, maybe okay. I'll take this one.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
The nuclear cannon at the end of the film was actually a World War II German howitzer.
Okay. Oh, my.
This was shot in 6 weeks.
Oh, wow. 6. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It feels like it.
Yeah. Yeah. How many movies have we seen that was filmed in 10 days or,
right,
you know?
Right.
Okay.
A young George Clooney visited the set because he was roommates with Tom Matthews at the time.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. Tom Matthews played Freddy. Oh.
Okay.
Kimmy Robertson was considered for the role of Tina. Kimmy Robertson was, she was around, she's a little tiny blonde lady with a big squeaky voice. She was the receptionist at the Twin Peaks Sheriff's Department on Twin Peaks.
Okay. Okay.
You can
yes.
see her?
Yes. Yes,
with
I
the,
can.
With the big curly hair?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Gosh.
Mark Venturini, Miguel A. Nunez Jr., and Tom Matthews all went on to have roles in the Friday the 13th film series.
Cool.
Venturini was Vic Fadden, and Nunez was a guy named Demon in Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. And Tom Matthews was Tommy Jarvis in Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives.
They're all connected.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I guess, you know, if you get a, if you get the way the film is and how you are to be acting, why not? Why not keep using the same actors? Absolutely. That's why they're called actors.
James Caron, who played Frank, brought Jason Robards to the set one day.
Yes. Okay.
They were friends.
All right. Of the age, yes.
Beverly Randolph, who played Tina, ended up marrying the film's assistant art director.
Oh, goodness. Why?
The movie was banned in Sweden when examined by their censorship board.
I wonder why.
The brain eating.
Oh, okay.
And the gratuitous nudity.
In Sweden? I think nudity's okay.
Yeah, but this is gratuitous. This didn't need to be there. This
right.
was just nudity
there,
to
there
have
There was no
nudity.
Need for her to take her clothes off.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you are correct. You are.
Vincent Schiavelli was considered for the part of Ernie, the funeral home guy.
Oh, I like the funeral home guy.
You know who Vincent Schiavelli is?
I do not.
He's got a weird face. He's a tall guy. He's got a weird face. Hold on. You'd know him if you saw him. Vincent.
But I think the guy that played, why can't I think of his name?
This guy.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes. But I think that Don Caffa also had that same kind of weirdly creepy look to him.
In a different direction, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought he was perfect.
I thought he did a great job.
Yeah.
Pulling out his gun every chance he got. Jesus Christ.
In the apron of his apron pocket.
Oh, he had a holster.
We shoved it in his apron pocket a couple of times, though.
I didn't see that, but he definitely had a holster. This movie has some silly titles in the foreign market.
Oh, no. Okay.
The Greek title of the film translates to Zombies Aren't Vegetarians.
No, they're not.
The German title is Verdammt, die Zombies kommen, which roughly translates to Damn it, the zombies are coming.
Goodness. Okay. I could see both of those.
Tom Matthews got his ear pierced for the role of Freddy before realizing they could have just, glued a fake one on there.
Oh, oops.
The film's composer, Matt Clifford's own, this is the film's composer, Matt Clifford's only feature film credit. He is a longtime musical collaborator of Mick Jagger and the touring keyboard player for the Rolling Stones.
My gosh.
Yeah, that's crazy.
My gosh.
The Tar Man zombie is performed by actor and puppeteer Alan Troutman.
That was creepy. And why do I recognize that name, Alan Troutman?
Alan Troutman is best known for his work with Jim Henson in The Muppets.
Okay. All right. That monster was creepy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Brian Peck, who played punk guy that looked more new wave, I think that's who he was, appears as a zombie who's clawing his way out of a grave and also did the voice of the female half corpse on set. Is that who that guy is, Brian Peck, or was he one of the punk guys?
One of the punk guys. Wasn't that one of the punk guys?
Oh, why does he look like that?
Well, this is him as older. I don't know why they always show these old pictures on here. But look at these eyebrows and that those eyes.
Yeah, was he the new wave looking guy, or was he one of the dickhead guys?
Oh. I don't know that.
Oh, he was one of the dickhead guys.
Oh, okay.
Scuzz. Okay.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
According to Linnea Quigley, the naked girl,
Huh?
she thought that Dan O'Bannon was a genius, but everybody else was just like, this guy's kind of a dickhead. And they thought he was too intense and too demanding.
He's a director. He wants the best film he can get.
I think when you get your feet wet by working with like James Cameron and stuff, like, I feel like you're just an asshole.
Oh,
Because
okay.
James Cameron's a hard ass too.
He's just too demanding.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I understand that. There's really no need for it, but I guess I understand.
And the more new wave looking punk girl in the blue dress,
Yes.
that actress was Jules Shepherd, and she met Dan O'Bannon in a private members only strip club where she worked as a dancer. And Dan O'Bannon wanted her to play the naked girl Trash. And she was just like, dude, I'm a stripper. Like, I'm naked all the time. Like, can I just have clothes on?
I get that. Okay.
And there's a lot more that I didn't write down, mostly because it's goddamn paragraph form.
Oh, yeah.
There was so much trivia.
Oh, wow.
This movie just seems, in general, kind of fun to deal with.
Yes. Interesting, too.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of stuff I read and thought, oh, that is... I mean, and they were on the cutting edge of what we now know, you know, CGI and all of that stuff that they had to do by hand.
Oh, practical effects.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I think they were pretty good. You know, they saw that first dead guy's head off real fast. And, you know, you looked away, but I watched the whole time. It looked pretty convincing.
I guess, yeah. But, ooh, oh my God. And then they sawed the whole rest of his body up. What? No, thank you.
And they said it was rabid weasels.
I thought that was pretty funny. And the guy going, oh, okay.
And the funeral guy was just ready to start shooting the weasels.
Right.
Just what? Put it down. What is your problem?
He just wanted to shoot that gun.
He really did.
He was ready to shoot anything. Oh my gosh.
And the nitric acid that burned Tommy's or that burned Freddy's eyes out. I didn't understand that. I would think that something a little stronger than nitric acid would have been more conducive to what they were trying to do.
Right, but that's all they had when they had it. But why would there be nitric acid in the embalming room?
I don't know.
And where did the body that was on the table go?
That's a good question.
That's what I kept on. Where did that body go? Because they never did put him away.
Sure didn't.
They covered him up and then they moved on and then he was gone. He put himself away?
I, you know, who knows?
See, those are the things I always ask those questions. But then I, you know, just keep it to yourself. Just don't bother.
You're not supposed to pay attention that close. I did like that Ernie's scrubs and his shoes matched. Did you notice that? They were the same color of, like, burgundy?
Yes.
And they were some sweet New Balances. Like, I want a pair of shoes like that. I'll wear the hell out of those.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. And then when he cut that clothes off, I thought, what's he cutting through? It's taking so long. Lord.
I don't know.
He had those little white socks on. Oh, my. And they never got dirty. Did you notice that?
No. Yeah, I noticed.
Those socks never got dirty. Oh, my. This was an interesting movie. Very interesting.
This is one to have in the collection. It's not a great movie, but it's great because it's not great.
Okay. And you know, I said right at first it was awful. It wasn't. It wasn't.
No. It was a little more explicit than, you know, Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
But that's what you get, you know, for having 20 years in between the movies. And, you know, if this had been shot in black and white, would it have been so visceral? Probably not.
It would have been more creepy.
Well, yeah.
It would have been straight up more creepy. For sure. I don't know. It was unusual.
Yeah. No, I like this. I've never watched any of the sequels I do own part two. And I believe it's down here somewhere. There are, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 sequels.
Yeah, but how can they after they blew up the city?
Well, that just shows that containment wasn't complete.
Okay. Or did it just spread it around?
Well, you know, that could be too.
Just that little bit of smoke that came out of that chimney turned that whole cemetery upside down. What would the bomb do?
Right.
I'm sorry. Okay.
And you were talking about how the army colonel's wife had her bathrobe on in bed. I feel like in watching old movies and stuff, women wore their bathrobes to bed. Like, I feel like that was just a thing.
Okay. Have you ever worn? I've worn my bathrobe to bed when I was sick.
Yeah, when I'm sick, I do that. And, you know, I have, you know, like a soft, you know, bathrobe that, you know, is warm, not a fancy-dancy.
Silk bathrobe that matches your jammies?
Yeah.
You're not that kind of girl?
No.
Me either.
Jammies? What?
Right. You mean that
ratty old
40-year-old t-shirt that I wear that's threadbare on most of the...
Yeah.
One sleeve is off because it just fell off one night. Yeah. Right. I get it. You have the same jammies I do then. Mine are older, though.
Mine's for a podcast I don't listen to anymore because some bad stuff happened and I can't support them, but I'll wear the shirt to bed.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's my... The things I wear to bed are things I wouldn't wear in public. Oh, exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
Heaven forbid there be a fire, then they would be in public.
Well, but... You get what you get.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. We had a lovely dinner of stewed brains and biscuits.
Yeah, because the only food mentioned was lamb chops, and I hadn't even thought about that.
Right.
I'm not eating lamb chops.
No, they're not my favorite. I wouldn't. I eat lamb, but not lamb chops. Plus, those are kind of hard to cook. You've got to do them just so, or they won't be very good. So who wants to be doing that at 5 a.m.? You know, so we did a beautiful casserole of...
Like chicken and biscuits or it kind of chicken pot pie.
Deconstructed pot pie.
Yeah.
Whatever, it was delicious.
It was a concoction.
Yes.
It's something I made last weekend and it was very, very good. And Justin was like, this is so good. So I made it again. So it's in the fridge.
Yeah.
So they made a shepherd's pie after that, and the shepherd's pie, it was awful.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's an awful story.
I'm sad about it. Justin wanted canned asparagus in it, and I've never eaten canned asparagus. And I should have, as soon as I dumped the shit out of the can, I should have started picking it out, but I didn't. I was like, oh, we'll go with it. We'll roll with it. No, man, it was fucking gross. Oh. And everything tastes like fucking canned asparagus, and it's bleh.
Yeah, canned asparagus is the reason why I do not eat any kind of asparagus.
Ugh.
That is something from my youth that was so awful. No. And as soon as you told me it was canned, I thought, oh my God. Oh my God.
Ugh.
And apparently Lex had never heard the story of canned asparagus. So.
No.
I'm so sorry, baby.
Oh, it was terrible. It was all slimy.
The smell, just the smell of canned asparagus.
And that's the smell is what it tastes like.
Oh.
Fucking gross.
can and slime.
Ugh.
That's what I think of canned asparagus. And I said, I wonder if frozen, I don't know if you can buy frozen asparagus.
I think that you can.
I think that frozen would be better. Because in my adulthood, I do now eat some asparagus, but only if it's grilled and I make it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know people do fancy stuff for hors d'oeuvres and wrap it in bacon. And I've never had that because I'm not going to eat asparagus.
Well, Justin's mom makes, when, you know, in the summertime, she makes grilled asparagus with bacon all the time.
Okay.
And it's fine.
Okay.
The only reason I don't like it is because the bacon is not done to how I like bacon.
Right.
So, and I really only like the top half of the asparagus.
That tender tip.
The flowery part. I don't like the woody stem.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. Because it's just like biting on a stick.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't like that.
Right, I don't either. And it's like we were talking. I said, you know, I cut the flowerette top off of broccoli.
Oh.
So I don't even eat the stem of broccoli.
Yeah.
It's less woody than asparagus. So
I eat a broccoli stem all day, every day, well, over an asparagus stem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But no, I prefer not to eat either. So.
Yeah, I do that with cauliflower too. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Oh, I'm not so rough on cauliflower. But yeah, okay. I'm all right with that because I am an adult.
Yeah.
And I do get to say what I want or don't want to eat.
I've been working on being more active on social media. I put us on Instagram. I made us a Threads account.
Yes.
And somebody was talking about like adults with like stuffed animals and stuff. And I was just like, listen, my adult money buys all the shit that my parents wouldn't buy for me. So like I have a collection of fun t-shirts and I have a collection of toys and movies and all the shit that, you know, I couldn't just say, please buy this for me and get.
Right. And isn't that what we're supposed to do with our adult money?
That's what my adult money is for. I saw another lady was just like, you know, she wanted a Barbie dream house and got a brother instead.
Oh.
And I was just like, baby, go buy the Barbie dream house.
Hell yeah. How much fun would that be?
That's what adult money's for.
Yes.
You don't have to use it. You can just set it up and stare at it.
Yes.
It's yours.
Play with it.
I would too. Well, I'd have to buy Barbies, but.
Well, it's okay. Well, now the newest Barbie has an insulin pump.
I saw.
I didn't know that Barbie was a type 1 diabetic.
Well, apparently she is.
Holy cow.
We're in the now, baby.
Okay. I'm all right with that, too.
But yeah, so on the social medias, find us on Threads, find us on Instagram. I'm not very active on Blue Sky. I'm trying to be better. And we have our Facebook group, of course.
Yeah.
And our YouTube page. I always forget our YouTube page.
Oh, right.
The podcast is there. I put up our videos. So go check them out.
I think I saw me on video on YouTube.
Yeah. When I filmed your reaction to the end of Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Just watching your eyes darting and your mouth falling open was so funny to me.
I don't even know what just happened. You know, I look at that, I'm thinking, oh my God, do I really look like that? And then I think, yeah, you do.
I've watched it like 100 times. It's funny to me every time.
I know, I'm sorry. Not really, but so you do. You have to look at that and see Clueless Mom.
Yeah. Today we made a TikTok where we're repping some punk bands. We've got some mom's got major punk hair. Mine's just big. Because it's so curly now, it doesn't do punk much anymore. It just does curl.
Right.
So mine's just big.
And mine just looked ridiculous.
I thought it was awesome.
That's the point. We just are awesome. That's it. We're awesome.
Yeah, we're pretty fun.
I think we're hilarious. I love looking at our TikToks. I just went through all of them recently, and I think, how can we be so stupid?
It's one of my friends at work. She thinks she would like to be more of an influencer type, but she doesn't want to get on camera. And I was just like, you just have to not care. I was like, first of all, you're hot. So it doesn't really matter what you say. You're hot. So I'm probably going to watch you anyways. And I was just like, and, you know, if you're telling me I need to buy something, you're hot. So I'll listen to you.
Right.
So, you know, just, it doesn't matter what you say. Just be hot. And she's just like, well, I don't know if I can do that. I said, I get on TikTok every other week. I look like a fucking idiot.
And I bring my mom with me.
And my mom's looking like a fucking idiot. Like, dude.
We're okay with it.
Yeah, zero shame.
No, isn't that what TikTok's for?
I think so.
You know, just us crazy people?
Yeah.
Who want to do crazier things? But look at all these people who, obviously, it's scripted and they've practiced and stuff. I'm thinking, we told Lex that the other day. We got to step up our game. First off, how would we do that? And second off, why? Because we should.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know. We've got a little bit of a following, and I think that's pretty cool.
I can hardly believe that we have a following of any number.
Yeah.
So, thanks?
Yeah, definitely, because we're a couple of idiots.
They really just want to see what we're good. I can't believe they did that. What are they going to do next?
All these dummies are back.
We have so much fun.
Yeah, we're having a good time.
Yeah. And we always have a nice meal.
Yeah.
Lex usually cooks us something delicious.
Yeah.
And, you know, when she said, well, there was no food, what should we eat? Because, you know, we always try to pick something from the movie that we're watching. And since there was no food, she said she'd make that pot pie. And I said, oh, we'll call it brains.
Yeah. It did look kind of brainy.
It did. The top, the biscuits on top. They did look brainy.
You know, the lines in the chicken, the shredded chicken-ness of it.
Yeah. I guess we could have put a little ketchup on the top or something.
No.
Okay.
No, I want to eat the food and enjoy it.
Right. Biscuits with ketchup don't sound good. Maybe a little drizzle of hot sauce in the cracks.
You could do that. I'm not doing that.
I want to make it look more like brains.
No, I'm not doing
that. Okay.
All right. Well, because again, I'd like to eat it.
Right. Right. And it was delicious. So yeah. We did eat it.
It was pretty good.
It was. The chicken was fabulous. I don't know if it was that rub you put in there or not, but I thought that chicken was delicious this time.
What I did was, it sounds so simple, is I boiled the chicken breasts in chicken stock and seasoning. I put a whole bunch of seasoning in there. And I boiled it for like half an hour. And then I drained, I took the liquid out. And I shredded the chicken with my hand mixer.
Yes.
Because I'm lazy.
No, it's the way to do it.
And then I put it in a container because I did the chicken last night because that's the most time consuming part of the whole meal.
Correct.
Getting the chicken ready to shred.
Right.
So I put it in a container and then there wasn't a whole lot of like cooking liquid left. So I put that in the container with the shredded chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And then this morning I put all that in a pan and I put some gravy in there and I put some peas and carrots in there. And then I topped it with frozen biscuits. And I think really, I think the next time I'm not going to put foil on it because I think that really hampered the biscuit baking.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right.
And about halfway, about after about a half hour, I flipped the biscuits because, you know, one side bakes up, but the other side stays raw and doughy
in the
juice.
Yeah. It was fabulous. It was really good. That was the way to make the chicken.
Yeah.
I'll have to try that myself. I usually use broth to cook the chicken. But man, that added all that extra flavor. So
yeah.
Good call.
Yeah. Because, you know, otherwise, it sounds like a pretty bland meal just on its face.
Right.
So, like, what can I do to liven this up? And, you know, whole shitload of onion powder and garlic powder and, you know.
Well, it was good.
All-purpose meat rub.
Love those rubs. I put that on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I eat a lot of chicken and pork chops, and I put some sort of rub on it every time because it just adds so much more flavor.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, good, good, good. Good stuff. We didn't do our dead people.
Oh, what kind of dead people we got? You said it was a small list.
It was. Of course, Jimmy Swaggart, dead at 90.
Well, okay.
You know, we all know him. TV evangelist. He was a cousin of Jerry Lee Lewis.
Not a good human being.
And Mickey Gilley. I don't think I knew that he was a cousin to Mickey Gilley. He was completely against rock and roll in any sort, but he had numerous gospel songs. He was a gospel singer. You know, and he had a little bit of problems in the 80s and 90s with prostitutes. He couldn't stay away from them.
Yeah, he was the one that exposed Jim Baker.
Yes,
and he's doing the same thing.
Yes,
get the hell out of here! Shut the fuck up.
Right. Ozzy Osbourne and Frank Zappa both did critical songs about him.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have to look those up.
Sure.
Okay, dead at 90, he had a coronary Father's Day ish.
Yeah, he had been in poor health for a few minutes.
Well,
but not very long.
At 90 and his history of prostitutes, he, you know, I can't believe he lived to 90.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Whatever.
Because his wife should have stabbed him.
Or any number of women. Michael Madsen.
Oh,
at 67.
Yeah. That's too young.
Absolutely. A frequent collaborator of Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, Mr. Blonde in Reservoir Dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy that was going to cut the cop's ear off.
Yes.
That's who he was.
Okay. Have I seen that movie?
Yes.
Yes, we did. Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, golly. Yes. Julian McMahon at 56.
Yeah, but that's way too young.
Cancer.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. And today, July the 12th, is my brother Dave's 70th birthday. He passed about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So he would have been 70 today.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Dave. He'll miss you.
Happy birthday.
So, yeah, that's it. That's all we have.
That's kind of a bummer to end it on.
Oh, no. No, you know what? He is all better now. You know, things are okay for him now.
Yeah.
So that's all that really matters. And we're okay now too. So.
Yeah.
But that's not bad.
No. And remember, the reason we watched Alien was for him.
Right.
Right after he passed.
That's right. I had forgotten that.
Yep.
You're right. Yeah. That was one of his favorites. So,
yeah.
Cool.
It all comes around.
It does. It does. And you know, as I read things about different directors and things like that, they are all so connected. You know, they're just all together. So, that is a small little click group, isn't it?
I guess you just have to go to USC if you want to get anywhere.
Film school. Yeah. Yeah. I know there's lots of film schools all over, you know? I know UT here in town does different kind of film stuff. I know they do.
Yeah.
But I can't say I've ever heard anybody that came from here.
I took a film class at Owens.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all there. Fun stuff. What else is happening?
Nothing's happening.
Which is probably a good thing.
It's been hotter than shit here.
Again? Even though it hasn't been in the 90s all this week, I think it's been hotter.
It's been hot.
This week than it was last week when it was in the 90s.
So, you know, when it started getting real hot outside, I have a car starter. And I've been using it to turn my air conditioning on before I leave work.
I've said that.
And I have had to switch my parking spot at work. Because the car starter couldn't get through somebody's truck.
No!
One of the title ladies drives this big-ass Lincoln SUV truck thing. It's massive. And the car starter can't shoot through her car.
Did you try a different window?
Yes, I've tried all the windows. And I was walking through the office yesterday, and one of my bosses called me out from her office. She's like, hey, come here. And I was like, what's up? And she's just like, why'd you change your parking spot?
Why are you parking in my spot?
No, it wasn't her spot. And I said, it's a funny story. I said, when it's been so hot, I said, I need to turn my remote air conditioning on before I get in a black car with black interior.
On a black top driveway.
She's just like, and I said, and it wouldn't shoot through that lady's truck. And she just laughed at me. She's just like, when I come around the corner and I don't see your car, like, I wonder who's here. And it's just like, no, if the lights are on, I'm here. Like, don't worry about it. Like, if everybody else's car is here, that means the doors are open, which means I'm here.
Right, because a small office like that, everybody has their spot.
Right.
They park in the same spot every day. And when you're not in your spot, something is wrong.
Right.
Oh, no.
And I tell you what, I've gotten used to parking in this new spot that's like right outside the window that I sit by.
Oh, okay.
And I came, you know, flying in the driveway, and I went to turn, you know, there's two ways you can turn right into the area where I park. And in the first, you know, the first line is back row of cars, what I would, from where I sit.
Right.
And I went to cut the wheel, and I look up, and there's a Sylvania Township cop just sitting there with their lights on. And I'm like, their headlights, not their cop lights on.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man. So now I had to drive the long way through the driveway to back into my new parking spot. But that car didn't flinch. Usually when I pull in the driveway and a cop's in the driveway, they pull away because I interrupted their nap or their hiding
or whatever.
Nobody has ever said anything to me, like, but yeah. And I came flying up, and there's a cop sitting there. I'm like, okay. Pardon me. And they sat there for almost a whole hour after I went inside.
My God.
So I don't know if they were sleeping good and they didn't hear me come in, but Justin said that the air conditioner in my car is real loud. So,
oh, okay.
I don't know. So maybe they could have heard me and they just were dead. I don't know.
Yeah, but then they woke up and drove away.
So yeah,
that's all that matters. Yeah, that is kind of creepy to pull into a parking lot and find a cop just sitting there. That is creepy.
Yeah.
You know, having worked in many, many different stores in many different towns, yeah, seeing a cop sitting outside your building is kind of odd.
Yeah, and, you know, I work in like a little industrial park, so, you know, There's many driveways for them to sit and hide.
Right. But yours is very secluded.
It is.
It is, with the trees all around it.
Yeah.
And really, you can only see the very front of the building from your driveway.
Right.
So, yeah, you're pretty secluded.
So that's
weird.
My adventures walking around at night. But I was telling Mom, we were watching this movie, and she was asking, when Tina leaves the group to go find Freddy, she's walking through the street and she's got her hands in front of her and they're like all balled up in front of her. Mom's like, why is she walking like that? I was just like, I don't know, but that's how I act in the dark by myself. Like,
well, I'd have my arms just a swinging so that I could hit anything that came by.
No, you know, because I'm not jingling my keys. I'm not rustling my bag.
Okay.
You know, I'm not.
You're being invisible.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay.
And that's what I tell people when I, you know, describe how I act when I'm walking around alone at night. Is it like I'm in a zombie movie and I'm not trying to alert anybody that I'm around.
Okay. All right. You're just being invisible. I get it. All right. Not me. I like to be loud.
Well, I mean, I do, you know, normally I don't care, but in the dark by myself, you know,
right,
with no real means of defending myself, I do tend to keep pretty still and quiet.
Right. And the fact that you have to stand there and unlock a door to you get any protection, I get it.
I have to lock two doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, once you get inside, you can lock that first door.
Well, yeah, because in order to unlock the first door, you have to stand there and manipulate the little clicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So, like, to just unlock it real fast and run in.
You can't do that.
It would be fine. Yikes. Because, you know, the clicker isn't locked in.
Oh, okay. Yikes.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff we have to worry about when we're going out in the middle of the night.
Yeah, Justin doesn't understand this, but Justin also has never been a woman alone in the dark.
Correct.
Justin's a big old white guy, and he's just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Which,
yeah, I don't think that anybody would want to sneak up on him. He's a pretty scary figure, I would think.
Justin can be very scary when he wants to be. And that's not to say that he frequently scares me, just to put that out there. But I have seen him, you know,
put that on. Well,
in some states.
You have to. Sometimes you just have to put that on.
Yeah. And like when that cop was at our door, he was, Justin filled the door frame and I felt petite behind him.
Oh my goodness.
Like, I am not petite. Like, nothing about me is petite. But sitting behind Justin in the door, you know, late at night talking to a stranger on our porch, I was just like, oh, he's a big strong man.
Yep. Yeah, well.
Yeah, he doesn't understand that fear of being raped and murdered like, you know, most women have.
Right. Correct.
Because the likelihood of him being raped and murdered is very low.
Probably. He is kind of pretty, though.
Don't say that to him.
No?
No.
Okay.
He's a handsome man.
He's a handsome man.
Okay. Call him pretty.
Oh, he's a good looking guy.
Yeah, he is.
You make a good looking couple.
I think so. It's because we match.
Yes. Go figure.
Yeah.
All these big tall men with these little tiny women. I don't get that.
Well, you know, that's all cute and well, but like, I'm a giant woman. I've been a giant woman for years. Like, I've been this tall for 30 years. Like, I mean,
sorry.
The only way to make me petite is to cut my legs off at the knees.
Yes, because you have really, really long legs. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It's all right, though.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, look at our producer.
Yeah, she's calmed down.
Oh, she's so cute.
Yeah. She's got some acne under her chin that I just bought some medicated wipes I'm going to attack her with later.
Oh.
She's going to hate me, but
I know. Gotta get them cleaned up.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah.
Before it becomes an open sore kind of thing.
Yes.
Because that's the last thing I need.
Right. And then she'll start digging at it. And
well, she's digging at herself. She's itching all the time. She just sat in bed this morning and itched. And I'm just like, baby, stop. So I'm going to hit her. I'm going to hit her with those wipes all over her body. See if she's got hot spots or something.
Right.
Because, you know, I've been giving her an allergy pill every other day.
And it doesn't seem to be clicking?
Not really.
Interesting. Poor thing.
Yeah.
She's your delicate little baby.
Oh, she's a pain in my ass. I love her so much.
I know.
My boys don't give me near as much trouble.
Nope.
I did. World War III almost popped off here the other night. Hello. So, you know about the ice fiasco at work. I've been carrying back and forth my own ice.
Right.
So, I had my ice box in my purse, and I had just put my purse down, I'd thrown my keys on top, and I went to talk to Justin, because Justin had already gone to bed. And I came out, and then I was in the kitchen doing stuff, and my purse fell over.
Uh-oh.
And the ice box made a huge clatter. My keys made a huge clatter. And these animals, I think they thought the nukes went off in here.
You scared everybody.
And then, you know, once Jelly gets scared, you can't be near him. And Ash needs to be by him.
Aww.
And so he's growling and hissing at Ash, and Ash is just right next to him, like, dude, what? What? And I'm like, Ash, get down. And I'm yelling at these cats. Justin's like, can you shut the door? You're fucking being loud. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, but
my God,
I'm dealing with a lot right now.
Oh, no.
It's a whole thing. Like, and if, you know, if you don't separate Ash from Jelly, Ash will aggravate him to the point where he is screaming. And if he starts screaming, he starts peeing. And it's a whole thing. Like, he, like, loses fur.
Oh, no. Like,
it's a whole thing. And I hate that for him. And I hate that for us. And
poor baby.
So, you know, when I notice that Jelly has been activated, I have to keep everybody around him chill, or he's going to freak out. And
he is turning into a little old man, isn't he?
And then Justin's going to come out of bed and freak out because somebody's fucking with Jelly Bean. And
oh my gosh.
It's a whole thing.
Oh, I know. You know, and these cats, they're so used to their usual routine.
Yeah.
And you throw a container on the floor, it's just the end of the world.
Yeah. Oh, it had some ice in it still, so that was so extra noisy. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yikes. Coming off of all these fireworks? Holy cow, the poor things.
Yeah.
I know Reginald Manchego is on his last nerve.
Do you want to take some of those meds back? Take some of those meds back and crush it up and put it on his food.
Oh.
Okay.
No, that stuff I gave you was liquid.
Really?
Yeah, that gabapentin.
Oh, shit.
It has a syringe with it.
No way. Okay.
Yeah.
They gave me pills.
Oh no, it's in a little blue bottle.
Oh, and I just unscrew the capsules and put the powder on her food.
Right.
That's what calms her down. I'm looking forward to a little vacation coming up.
I know, that'll be fun.
We're going to go up to Grand Rapids. He found a store called Alive Again, and it's all horror movies, books, music, media, all, you know, anything you can find horror, it's there. And I can't wait. They sell VCRs.
Wow. Like,
we're probably going to come home with a VCR.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're stoked. And to tie in with the podcast, I emailed the shop and I was just like, hey, you know, I run a podcast with my mom about movies. And I said, and also I'm a avid movie collector. I said, we're horror people. Big Daddy is a VHS guy. I said, we've heard about your shop. We're coming to your town just to shop at your shop and go to our usual food places. And I said, and we're really excited. And, you know, can I do a little thing for my TikTok? You know, and, you know, I'm not expecting anything from you. I just want to come spend money at your store. And he was just like, hell yeah, do your TikToks, do your YouTubes. He's just like, check us out. And he's just like, and if you're, you know, you're coming in from out of town, he's like, check out these other places on the street. And I was just like, oh, cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. So shout out to the owner of Alive Again in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're stoked to come visit.
It'll be fun.
Hope so.
And you're going to Yesterdog, of course?
Of course we're going to go to Yesterdog. We're going to get a Tallarico Boardwalk sub.
Oh.
Those subs are bomb.
You had talked about that the last time, how good they were.
They're so good.
Okay. All right. You going to stay at that same hotel that had the kitchen?
No. No. That same hotel. They wanted like $180 a night for a weekend because we're going on a weekend.
Oh, of course.
So we found a different hotel that was much cheaper.
Good.
For a night rate.
Okay.
It still seemed to be like a fairly decent hotel that we'd want to walk into.
Right. I get it. I get it. Oh, how fun.
Yeah. So I've got the whole first day already plotted out. Like we're going to, the last time we went up to Grand Rapids, we drove up, we got off the major interstates and drove up M50.
Yes.
We took M50 most of the way up. And that's, it puts some time on the drive, but it's more of a scenic route. It's a little bit more chill than straight up expressway driving.
Right.
Because you do drive through several little towns.
Which, you know, you're not in a hurry then, so.
No. No. You know. And, you know, nothing opens until goddamn noon anyways, so.
Right. Right.
Oh,
how fun.
So what directionally works out is that we're going to hit the video store that we always go to, give that a shot, and then hit Alive Again.
Okay.
And then hit Yesterdog. And then set up home base at the hotel. And then go out and just, you know, see where the day takes us from there.
How fun.
Yeah, we're excited.
It'll be nice.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't rain all weekend. I hadn't looked at the
I hadn't weather. Looked either, but you know, if it does, it does, whatever. They're pretty close to water over there.
Yes. Yeah. Wear your raincoats. Take them with you.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Oh, we always take our raincoats. Just in case.
Absolutely. And then Grammy gets to take care of the little kittens.
Yeah.
They're so cute.
I'll make sure they have plenty of food, extra food hanging out.
I won't let them starve, I promise.
Yeah, what you do have to watch is the water thing. I came out the other morning and the water was, it was like churning, but no water was coming out.
No.
And I was just like, no, I am the worst.
No.
So I filled it up real full and it started prickling immediately. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Yikes. Okay.
Because this pan doesn't have water left in it. when the water's not running.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's always fresh water. They don't ever have to drink still water.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
But the problem is if the thing's not running, there's no water in the pan.
Okay.
So there is no still water as an option.
Right. Oh, right. Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I do check that.
I appreciate that.
So I won't let them go thirsty.
I appreciate that.
Dehydrate, I guess, is the word I was. It's like, what word should I put there? Dehydrate.
Dehydrate.
I know how to take care of kittens.
I know you do.
They're always happy to see me.
They're happy to get cookies.
I don't know what you're talking about. You have to put a picture of our producer. She's now taking a little snooze.
That's a good one.
Oh. Oh, look at that face.
Did you see on Instagram, I have posted a picture of her when she was helping me edit Heather's. And I put music on it.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look.
And it's the Pointer Sisters, She Works Hard for the Money.
Oh my God, I will look. I always look at her pictures of her. I think they're cute. And we always talk about one or the other of the cats producing for us. So.
Yeah.
She seems to like it the most.
Yeah.
They're always so cute when they're sleeping, just like babies.
Yeah.
And they wake up.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yay! Fun stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Our 10 movies to 100 is coming up real fast.
Real fast. We picked number 89 today. We're going to watch Mystery Men next.
That sounds fun.
I feel like I've watched this with you in the 90s.
You think?
I feel like I
did. I don't really remember the 90s.
So, well, then it'll be all new to you.
Lots of stuff is new to me, so okay. Yeah, and then we start in, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, our countdown to 100.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I think so.
And then our 100th movie, our lost movie. Are we going to eat anything when we're watching that movie, or should we just sit quietly?
No, we'll eat. It's just that, like,
we're making it ourselves.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those movies that doesn't really have food in it, so we can do whatever we want.
We'll have to decide what we want to eat.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah. Golly, I can hardly believe that we are up to almost 100 movies.
Isn't that wild?
When we started this, I never suspected that we'd last this long. Did you?
No. No, because I thought you'd never stop working and we would just be doing one episode, you know, a quarter.
I never thought I'd stop working either. I had a plan. I was going to pay my house off, which didn't happen, but I couldn't take it anymore. I had to stop working. I had to stop working or hurt someone.
Yeah.
It was one or the other, and I had a whole list of people that I would have liked to slap into next week, so it was time to quit.
Yeah. Yeah, before you start slapping people, it's the best time to go.
Yep. But, you know, living on Social Security, now I have to worry about Daddy Dumpy Pants cutting my money. You know, and...
Yeah.
I worry about stuff like that and how things are changing so strangely right now.
Yeah.
You know, are we going to make it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I don't know either. You know, and you look around and not only is Texas flooding, but all these other cities are flooding. And it's scary. Although there is no such thing as climate change. But, you know, the world does change the way it spins. So things like that happen out of our control.
Yeah. Or it's Jewish space lasers.
I forgot about those. Oh my gosh. Or cloud seeding, which they decided in the 60s didn't work, but that's happening now, apparently. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Jewish space lasers.
I like that pretty much better than anything.
Of things that are just so ridiculous.
Well, they did try to control the weather. They did think that was something possible. But like I said, in the 60s, they decided that did not work.
Yeah.
But we're talking about people now who do not know history.
No.
So.
Well, this might be a hot take. I think these people do know history, but I think that they don't understand that using history as a cautionary tale instead of a blueprint is a thing.
Oh, well, now that's thought-provoking.
I think these people are using history as a blueprint, and I think things are going to, you know, get way darker before they get light. Just because we're going to repeat mistakes of the past because we're too stupid to avoid it.
Very thought-provoking. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope not, but I'm afraid that it's looking more like that than anything.
It's scary.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
We'll see. We'll hope for the best. And we'll be here next time with a fun movie and a delicious meal. And
yeah, I don't know what we're going to have next movie because I haven't seen the movie in front. Like, I've seen it recently, but I wasn't paying attention. And when I was paying attention, they were at a fancy party. So, you know, should I watch the movie and find out if there's real food or should we just have, like, canapes?
We can have canapes and we can look on the, internet and see what it says. Hors d'oeuvres?
Yeah.
We can do that. You know, I don't mind making a meal out of
hors d'oeuvres. You don't know.
I think that makes a fine meal.
You got some bacon wrap water chestnuts?
Oh, man. Got chestnuts in my pantry.
Nice.
I don't have any bacon. I cooked the last of my bacon.
I got some bacon.
But we could do that.
I got some bacon.
And you know, I know where to get bacon.
Well, yeah.
I can get it from a guy down the street, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's several butcher shops on the way home.
There is a guy down the street with a butcher shop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just around the corner from me. Okay. Yeah. Oh, boy. I'm going to start thinking. I'm going to start looking to see what I can make.
Yeah. Mystery men. Yeah. About a group of unlikely superheroes.
I think it sounds hilarious.
Oh, it is. It is. Because it's all funny people.
Okay. All right. Yay.
All right.
Okay.
Did you like the movie?
I did.
Okay.
I did like it.
Because it was ridiculous?
Yes.
Because of the slapstick element to it?
Yes.
Okay.
It was okay. I had my hands on my face a lot. It turned out okay.
Well, brain eating is pretty visceral, but.
Yeah, that was pretty rough when they bit into that guy's head. Yeah, that was rough, but. Wow. Okay.
I don't know. I've seen more. I've seen a Saw movie, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well. This was pretty tame.
I don't mind tame then.
Okay.
But it was okay. I think it was okay.
Yeah, I definitely recommend if you haven't seen it, go watch it. And if you haven't seen it in a while, go back and watch it. It's still very fun.
Absolutely.
And on that note, we're gonna call it a day.
All right.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Bye.
Bye.